This is the story of Esther and how the Jewish feast of Purim came to be celebrated each year in honor of her bravery and in remembrance of the amazing events that transpired in the kingdom of King Xerxes of Persia in approximately the 6th century BC. It's an amazing story, not just because it's true, but because plans to destroy every Jewish person in that kingdom were halted by our Almighty God. The God of Israel miraculously intervened in what appeared to be a hopeless situation and saved the Jews of the kingdom from certain death. I will now read for you from the book of Esther in the Holy Scriptures. This is the first five chapters. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes, King Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa, and in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. The military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles of the provinces were present, and for a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue linen fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant, in keeping with the king's liberality. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink with no restrictions, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. So we see that all was very merry in the kingdom. But on the 7th day of the feast, the king became extremely upset. Why? Because he had requested that the queen come to show off her beauty, but she refused.
Hey, King Xerxes, where's your queen? Why isn't she here celebrating with the rest of us? Or does she only make appearances when she feels like it?
She appears when I tell her to appear. In fact, I've asked her to make an appearance in just a few minutes. Psst. Hey, guy.
Yes, King.
Go and fetch Queen Vashti at once. I want her to make an appearance ASAP. These men have come to see all the splendor of Shushan and all that I own, including Queen Vashti.
Haggai, the king's royal attendant, immediately rushed the request to Queen Vashti and stressed the significance of her appearance.
Queen Vashti, your presence is requested by the king. He asks that you appear before the visiting nobles at the banquet. And if you don't mind me saying, Your Royal Highness, you should probably get a move on. He seems a bit impatient.
The nerve, visiting nobles, you say. I say they are nothing but a bunch of men who had their fill of wine 3 days ago, and they are still drinking. I will not appear as entertainment for the likes of men like that. I don't care what the king says. I won't go.
But King, Queen Vashti, the king's ordered you.
You can tell the king I said no, no, no.
But Queen Vashti!
He'll fry my bacon!
My answer is final, Haggai. You will return without me.
Yes, Queen Vashti. King Xerxes.
Yes. Well, where is she? It's taking too long. The men have begun to talk. Bring her here at once!
Well, that's the thing, sir. She won't come, King Xerxes. She said no.
She said no?
Well, specifically, Your Royal Highness, she said no, no, no.
She said no?
She said no?
What do you mean she said no? What do you mean she said no, no, no? What if this deed of the queen should come to the ears of all the women in the kingdom? There'll be rampant disobedience. They'll despise their husbands. The men of the kingdom would never forgive me. It'd be chaos, turmoil, anarchy, women's lib type stuff.
The king's counselors charged that Queen Vashti had not only insulted the king, but also all the princes and people of the kingdom. So they recommended that a new queen be found to replace Vashti.
Ha! Good luck and good riddance.
And so shall it be, Queen Vashti will be removed from her position, and I shall marry another beautiful woman. Someone who dwells in my kingdom, perhaps. Counselors, begin to search for the beautiful women who will be my new wife and queen at once.
Oh, I've always dreamed of being the queen. I hope he picks me. I saw him staring at me, I think.
Word spread throughout the kingdom that the king was in search of a new queen. Commissioners in every province under his rule brought beautiful women into the palace. They were placed under the care of Hegai, and they began months of intensive beauty treatments. There were many women brought to the palace so that King Xerxes could choose a new queen. There was in the citadel of Susa a Jewish man named Mordecai. He was a Benjamite who had been carried away from Jerusalem in the Babylonian captivity. And Mordecai had raised up Hadassah, his uncle's daughter, who was called Esther. She was very fair and beautiful, and among those who were brought to the palace and placed under Haggai's care. Before being taken to the palace, Mordecai gave Esther some important advice, which she was very careful to heed.
Now, Esther, listen to your old cousin Mordecai. You need to be careful around some of these people. If I were you, I would not let them know that you are a descendant and heir of the promises of Abraham. You know, Jewish.
I vow never to reveal my nationality, Cousin Morty. Mum's the word.
So the scriptures tell us that Esther kept her promise to Mordecai and won the favor of Haggai. He immediately began providing her with special beauty treatments. And he fed her special food.
That's special food, all right.
In hopes that when Esther's turn came to spend time with the king, she would win his favor above all the other beautiful women in the kingdom. Finally, in the 10th month in the 7th year of King Xerxes' reign, Esther was summoned to the royal residence. The king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval. So the royal crown was set upon Esther's head.
Oh, I still wish it was me.
I was sure he was going to pick me.
I guess I knew he wasn't going to pick me. It seems that the eunuch has told the king that I was too old.
But he likes older women.
And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts to all.
Attention, attention, everyone. King Xerxes will now make a toast.
Henceforth and forevermore, I declare this day to be a celebration. Attendants, fill every glass as we lift them to toast my new queen. To Queen Esther, may you reign much longer than my last wife did.
Long reign, Queen Esther. But in the midst of all this joy, there was treachery and deceit brewing within the kingdom. Two individuals were planning to assassinate the king. Fortunately, Mordecai learned of this evil plot, and he told it to Queen Esther.
What? Are you sure?
Who in turn told it to the king in Mordecai's name.
What? Are you sure? Off with their heads! Wait, that's not the line, just a second. I'm too old, the king picked me. Hang him high!
Thus, the criminals were caught and hanged on a tree. We will soon learn that God allowed this near tragedy to occur, ultimately to prevent a much greater tragedy that was looming in the kingdom of Xerxes. For a reason that is not told to us in Scripture, King Xerxes brought honor and advancement to a prince named Haman. The Agagite, above all his other princes, and every one of the king's servants bowed to Haman and revered him. All of the king's servants except Mordecai, and this enraged Haman.
Mordecai! I'm going to get that Mordecai. How dare he refuse to bow to me? I'll get him and all his brethren. The Jewish people throughout the kingdom of Xerxes will pay for his grievous error. But when? When would be the right time to destroy his people? I know. I'll have the king's servants who are loyal to me cast lots every day until the right signs appear. Then I'll do away with this insubordinate Mordecai. And I'll do it with all of them. And his little dog, too.
So, Haman had the servants cast lots before him every day, beginning in the first month, the month of Nisan, when Passover celebrated, until the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And in that month, Haman determined that he should do this diabolical deed. Now all he needed was King Xerxes on board with his plans.
Now, Haman, are you saying to me that there is a large group of people scattered throughout my kingdom that refuse to keep my laws? And you say that I should allow them to be destroyed? And you're telling me you're willing to take care of this for me?
Your Royal Highness, if it pleases you, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury, just to show my appreciation. As a concerned citizen of the kingdom, let me take care of this trivial annoyance for you so you can be free to attend pressing and more urgent matters.
No, I couldn't take your money. Save it for taxes. Your offer to rid the kingdom of these rebellious people is proof enough for me that you are a model citizen, Haman. You're right, Haman. We must rid our land of this disease before it's too late. Here, take my signet ring and use the weight of its authority to sign any order you see fit. Do with these people as you please, Haman.
So Haman had a terrible decree written and sealed it with the king's ring.
Hear ye, hear ye. Upon notice from the palace and signed with King Xerxes' official seal, I announce to all the kingdom this official decree. All Jews, both young and old, little children and women should be destroyed, killed, and caused to perish in one day. On the 13th day of the month, 12th month, the month of Adar, and their possessions be taken away, all able-bodied people should be ready to attack the Jewish people on that day.
When Mordecai heard about all these terrible deeds, he tore off his traditional clothing and put on sackcloth. And he put on ashes. And went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry.
Oy-vey! Oy-vey! Oy-vey!
And in every province, as the words of the king's commandment came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And Esther sent a messenger to Mordecai to find out about the dilemma.
Hey, guy.
Yes, Your Royal Highness.
What is with all this racket in the citadel? Here, take this message to Mordecai at once. He will know what's going on.
What? Are you...
give me number two.
Confusing.
Queen Esther, a message from Mordecai. The king has issued a decree that all the Jewish people be killed on the 13th day of the 12th month. I charge you to enter the chamber and plead for the lives of your people. Do this quickly. We're running out of time.
This is terrible news, Haggai.
Terrible, yes, terrible. Why is it terrible?
Because I'm Jewish.
Oh, yes, that's terrible. Wait, Jewish? Well, that explains why you never eat bacon!
Haggai, go back to Mordecai and give him this message and hurry.
Oh, another message. Thank you, Your Royal Highness.
Oh.
A message from the Queen. What? Are you crazy?
What? Are you crazy?
Everyone knows that a person cannot just speak to the King. For if even I were to enter the King in the inner courts when I've not been called by him, then I could be put to death according to the law of Xerxes. The only hope I would have in such a situation would be if the King were to hold out to me the golden scepter, then I would be allowed to live. But I've not been summoned to the king in the last 30 days. The honeymoon's over, if you know what I mean. What if he doesn't want to see me yet?
Oh, messenger, return to your queen and give her this message.
You know, the palace is like 2 miles away. Couldn't you have lunch or something with her? Don't you think just because... Queen Esther, a message from Mordecai. Don't you think just because you live in the king's house, one Jew, you'll not get to live either. If you perish, persist in staying silent... At this time, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jews from someplace else, and you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows? Maybe this is why you've been made queen at such a time.
Messenger, return to my cousin Mordecai.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
Tell him to gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan to fast for me. They shall have no food or drink for 3 days and three nights. I myself and my maidens will fast likewise. And then I will enter into the king's chambers and plead for my people. If I perish, I perish.
As you wish, my queen.
Now it came to pass after 3 days of fasting that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. The king was on his throne facing the entrance. When he noticed Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased to see her. The king extended the golden scepter in his hand. Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter.
Ah, Queen Esther. To what do I owe this wonderful surprise, my queen? You may ask of me whatever you like. I will give you your heart's desire, even up to half of my kingdom if you desire it.
If it would please you, my king, I would like to invite you and Haman to come today. To come today to the banquet that I have prepared.
Queen Esther, have you been hiding secrets from me?
Secrets? No, I
had no idea you could cook. You prepared a banquet feast for me? Excellent. I can hardly wait. We'll both be there. Oh, I hope she made some bacon.
So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared, and the king promised again to give Esther whatever she wanted, even up to half of his kingdom.
Oh, my king, my petition and request is, if I have found favor in your sight, and if it please the king to grant my petition, let the king and Haman come again to the banquet. Let you come again to the banquet that I should prepare for you tomorrow, and I will give you my petition tomorrow.
Another banquet? Another panorama of tasty pork, no doubt. Well, it pleases the king indeed, Queen Esther. Your wish is my command. We will both attend your banquet feast tomorrow.
Haman went home that day, joyful and glad in his heart. But again, as he passed by Mordecai at the king's gate, Mordecai would not stand up or honor him in any way.
Mordecai!
So Haman decided to have gallows 75 feet high made, and he determined to ask the king the next morning that Mordecai be hanged there.
Tomorrow, Mordecai, you will bow low to me, swinging on the end of a noose.
That night, strangely enough, the king could not sleep.
Hey, guy. I've got my warm milk and my teddy and the book of records of the... Could you read the book of records of the Chronicles before me? For some reason, hearing the history of my rule in this kingdom always does put me to sleep.
Very well, King Xerxes. Once upon a time, in the land you ruled over...
And in the reading of the Chronicles, King Xerxes heard and was reminded that Mordecai saved the king's life by revealing a plot against him.
Hey, guy, I'd forgotten all about that funny little man at the city gate saving my life. Tell me, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this?
Stoning? Oh, no, he saved your life. Nothing good. It appears nothing was done.
Teddy, could this be? Nothing? A man saves the king's life and nothing is done for him? Surely I sent a gift.
Nope.
Maybe an iTunes gift card?
Not even an iTunes gift card, sir.
Well, this must be rectified immediately. Who is in attendance in my court? Haman. Call him in.
Now, Haman had come to the court of the king to ask that Mordecai be hanged on the gallows that Haman had prepared. But the king spoke to Haman first and said,
"Tell me, Haman, what shall be done for a man that a king desires to honor? Give me some ideas, something really exciting, and wow us."
Now Haman, who always thought very highly of himself, assumed that the king desired to honor him, so he responded,
"For the man the king desires to honor, bring the finest royal robe, and bring the royal horse and a royal crown, and have one of the king's most noble princes bring to that man which you would honor, on lead him on the horse, and have that man horseback through the city, and proclaim before him, 'This is what is done for the man whom the king especially wants to honor.'"
And the king responded,
"Yes, such a delightful idea. Quickly, I charge you to go and take the clothing and the horse, as you have said, to the man that I wish to honor, Mordecai the Jew."
"Mordecai!"
"Yes, that's correct. Mordecai the Jew."
"As you wish, sir."
So Haman was forced to do exactly as the king had said, and brought honor to Mordecai the Jew throughout the kingdom. But afterwards, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, ever concerned about the plight of his people, and Haman returned home in shame. When Haman reached home, Zeresh, his wife, and all of his wise men said to him, "We can see that you have begun to fall down before Mordecai. If Mordecai is indeed of the seed of the Jews, you will not prevail against him, but you will surely fall before him." Then the king's servants arrived at Haman's home to bring him to Esther's banquet. King Xerxes and Haman came to the banquet of Esther the queen, and the king said again to Esther on the second day of the banquet,
"Queen Esther, you make a mean pulled pork. Ah, that was delicious. Now tell me, what is your petition, my queen? Name it, and it will be granted to you. What is the desire of your heart? And it shall be given to you. Even up to half of my kingdom. You can have anything except for Teddy."
"Oh, my king, if I have found favor in your sight, please let my life be given to me, is my petition, and the lives of my people at my request. For our fate has been sealed. We are scheduled to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish."
"Who is it? Name for me who has dared to threaten my queen and her people. What dark heart has plotted such a thing?"
"The dark heart and the enemy of myself and my people, the Jewish people of this kingdom, is the wicked Haman."
Uh-oh.
You're Jewish? Well, I guess that explains why you never eat any bacon.
Then Haman became exceedingly afraid before the king and queen. And the king arose from the banquet table in great wrath and anger and stormed into the palace garden.
"Traitor! You scoundrel! Palace guards, come quickly!"
Now, so frightened was Haman that he threw himself upon the bed where the queen was reclining so as to beg Esther for his life before the king.
"Help!"
But when the king returned, he saw Haman lying upon the queen's bed and exclaimed,
Will he force himself upon the queen, even right before my eyes,
my
own house?
No, your royal highness. I would never...
At these words, the king's servant took hold of Haman.
King Xerxes, I've just been made aware that Haman commissioned the building of a 70-foot gallows at his residence just yesterday.
Hang him high!
So, Haman was hanged on the gallows that he had constructed in his own house in order to kill Mordecai. Yay! Esther then spoke yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and sought with tears that he stop the terrible things that Haman, the Agagite, had determined to do to the Jewish people.
The order that was issued by my seal, and anything with my seal cannot be reversed. However, I, the king, shall grant to you, Queen Esther, and to your cousin Mordecai, the right to also write letters in the king's name, and seal it with my royal seal. Issue an edict that all Jews are allowed to defend themselves from anyone wishing to attack them, to the death. So shall it be.
So Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, and to every people in their language, the following letter in the king's name and with the king's seal.
The king grants the Jews which are in every city to gather themselves together and to stand and defend their lives. They are authorized to destroy and to slay all the power of the people and the province that would try to assault them on the 13th day of the 12th month of Adar.
In all of the king's provinces, the Jews organized and defended themselves, freeing themselves from oppression. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, they killed 75,000 of those who hated them and hung the 10 sons of Haman on the gallows, but did not take any plunder. The next day, the 14th, they took it easy and celebrated with much wine and food and laughter. And Mordecai wrote letters commanding that all the Jews establish among themselves that the 14th and 15th days in the month of Adar, which is in early spring, are set aside for feasting and celebration. For it was on those days and in that month that God made a way to turn the Jews from sorrow to joy and from mourning into feasting. These days are called Purim because Haman cast the Pur to destroy the Jews. But this day was not ordained as a feast for the Jews only, for as it says in the Holy Scriptures, this feast day was ordained for all the Jews and for all the people who join themselves to them. It's for all Jewish and Gentile people who love God's people. Let the feast begin! Okay, so the traditional feast for Purim is to eat Hamantash cookies or Hamantashen cookies that are shaped like Haman's hat. And she's not here right now, but Lily, who comes to our church, baked a lot of them. They're little shortbready fruit-filled cookies, and we need you to eat up. So please join us in feasting on fruit and cheese and cookies.